In victory or defeat, true fans never quit. Champions are made by the fans. That's why 5-Hour Energy is adding a new limited edition Stand the Fan 5-Hour Energy Shot to their roster. Fuel your team's spirit with a taste as sweet as an overtime win. Packed with an all-star lineup of B vitamins, nutrients, and 230 milligrams of caffeine, it keeps you feeling energized, loud, and proud all game long. Check out 5hourenergy.com to grab your Stand the Fan Shot today.
Report with Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Brad Biggs, the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a long time contributor to the station and a valued friend. And he joins us now on the Aturo Hotline. Your all-weather tire, Aturo, aturo.com. Big Zay!
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, you got the story, buddy. You're the one there that's combing over the injury list. You know that the Bears came out of that game fairly healthy. There were only two guys on the injury list, and they were already there. Will that thing grow as the week goes on? Do you expect another turned ankle or someone having a hangnail? What will happen to the injury list?
Well, I think it'll be difficult to tell because I'm expecting primarily, you know, walkthroughs this week to get from an overtime game on Sunday to, as you guys said, the early kickoff on Thursday. So you're going to be talking about estimations on the practice report. Ryan Bates would have been limited had they held a practice as he returns from concussion protocol. That was the estimation that was given out yesterday afternoon. So all things considered, when you're talking about the final week of November here, this is a roster that's in pretty good health. Like, they haven't had an Aiden Hutchinson injury this year, okay? The Bears haven't. The Lions, the team they're facing, has. And the Lions have got some injuries they're dealing with. Amon-Ra St. Brown is banged up. The left tackle, Taylor Decker, I think there's probably some questions about. So Detroit's dealing with some current injuries, I would assume, coming out of that game in Indianapolis this past week.
All right, let's dive quickly into the weeds, Brad. How satisfied were you with the explanation for why the Bears essentially had the same field goal block unit or the offensive line? Yeah, to that they did a week before when it did get blocked. And how would you explain the changes that came after it had the second block in two successive games?
Yeah, I mean, you've only got so many guys on your game day roster that are even going to be qualified to be out there for that. And then it's the same problem. Yeah, that's an issue, right? Like, you know, Pat Manley could tell you that they haven't been tight enough previously in the season when they've had guys that have been pushed back some. And it was, I think, a combination of a couple factors and probably some bad luck involved that led to them having kicks blocked in consecutive weeks. But that's an issue. Like, it's leverage, right? I mean, you got to have leverage. If you don't have leverage, you're going to struggle to stand your ground, and that's going to be a problem. And, you know, fortunately, Cairo Santos was able to make the 48-yarder on the final play of regulation to force overtime, but that's got to be better. It's got to be better, and that Eberflus is going to be involved. You know, we'll see. It's just like they can't put out the fires fast enough to stop other ones from spreading up there right now. If that makes sense, like they're over there trying to put that fire out, and you turn around and there's one, you know, behind them. It's that's the problem they're dealing with.
So, you know, we had an interesting conversation this morning where we were talking about who's been the best player on this team, be it offensively or defensively. And it's a difficult question because, you know, you think Montez Sweat is the best player on the defense. Oh, no, maybe it's Jalen Johnson. Well, neither guy. Jalen got called, you know, he had the slip a couple weeks ago. He got called for two pass interference penalties. He explained on the one, he just grabbed the guy's jersey for a second. Is that called pass interference? He didn't feel that it was it hindered his path to the ball, but you know, it was a big play. And so he's kind of off the boil. Listen, the whole team is off the boil when you lose five straight games. But we were struggling to figure out who you would consider a Pro Bowler on this team right now, and I think they've got talent. I don't know that most of the players on the team haven't struggled. The punter looks pretty good. You could say the kicker had looked good, although, you know, three blocked field goals in a year is going to give you a little hesitation.
Yeah, I mean, if I had to pick one where I would say this guy's Pro Bowl worthy, it would be Jalen. And that's understanding that he fell down recently against Green Bay and then had the two calls. The one, I think, was clear pass interference against Minnesota. The other looked marginal at best to me, maybe ticky-tack, the kind of thing that doesn't warrant a flag in the league. But you know, you look at his body of work over the course of the entire season to this point, and he's been their best player. I think it's pretty easy to say that. Now, recency bias is real, and he'd like to have a couple of those plays back, no question about it. But if you're talking about through this point in the season where they've played 11 ball games, he's been their best football player.
Brad, what do you make of this controversy, mini controversy about the boundary cam and the lack of boundary cams in NFL stadiums prevents them from using it on coaches' challenges? And Mike Pereira got involved, and I think a lot of people will talk about it later, and Pereira had some interesting things to say, but just wonder what your opinion was about the use of boundary cam and the unsuccessful use of challenges by Matt Eberflus this year.
Well, those are two totally different issues. With boundary cam, the NFL's maybe not turning enough of a profit. I don't because that's technology that's going to cost a lot of money. So why that's not in place, you know, I mean, you could put a chip in the football too, couldn't you? Right? I mean, there's probably a lot of things that they could do. I don't know that Addison was out of bounds. I'm not sure why people are up in arms about that. In terms of Matt Eberflus's challenges, he's, I believe, 2-for-9 overall. Mm-hmm. I think he's 0-for-3 this year. 2-for-9 is below league average. I think league average, I wrote about it a while back, I think league average is in the 30, high 30s maybe in terms of getting things overturned. So we are looking at a small sample size. What I think is they tend to look at plays sometimes that they view as like, this is a huge critical play in the game. It's worth taking a shot here, right? And so it's almost like they're doing a little wish casting there. Hey, maybe this was questionable because we just got hit for a 68-yard play by Jordan Addison or whatever the case is. And, they just haven't gotten any in a while. But that's way down the list of things that you're concerned about with Matt Eberflus, because if he went out there and went 2-for-3 in his next three challenges, I think his overall career numbers would be right around league average.
I don't really care about the challenge thing. I think there's different people who have different ideas about it. Lovey always said that you challenged any big play that was you thought was a game-turning play. I think Eberflus said you challenge explosive plays. Whatever way you want to look at it, if you feel like a play is very important and it's going to impact the game,
yeah, I mean,
take another look at it.
You, right, and they hit him for a 68-yarder right out of the tunnel. First play of the third quarter. And the guy was walking the tightrope down the sideline, but those pylon cams, I mean, those things have got to be pretty expensive, guys.
They're beautiful.
They can afford them.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. Everyone get a pylon cam because it'll help you. If you have a pylon cam, use it. All right? I just don't get it. As you say, you know, the league, we joke around about it, but if you have the technology, make it the best technology you can get. How is this?
Right. You'd have to have it in every venue. It would have to be in every state. You know, everything's got to be uniform. I don't. Maybe they'd have to hire some more replay officials. I have no idea. Eventually, it'll get there. And the Bears didn't lose the game on Sunday because they were lacking pylon cams. Fortunately,
do you think that Matt Eberflus has considered or discussed allowing Eric Washington to call defenses now that his defense has come back to the pack a little bit more and been disappointing of late?
I don't think so. If Matt Eberflus is going to go down this season, I think he's going to go down doing it the way he wants to, right? And doing it in a manner in which he thinks gives the team the best opportunity for success. And they did some things really well in that game defensively. We talked about it, I think, Monday morning in terms of holding Justin Jefferson in check. They got some critical red zone stops, referencing the first series of the third quarter there after the explosive play to Jordan Addison down the sideline without the pylon cams, and then forcing Romo to kick the field goal very late in the fourth quarter there. They were also in the red zone, a short field goal there. If that's not a field goal attempt there, there's no 11-point rally in 20-some-odd seconds for the Bears to get into overtime. It's over. So I don't think he would hand it over to Washington at this point, no.
Okay, so it's a short week. You're on the road for the first time with the new offensive coordinator. You're playing a team that's doing very well. I saw yesterday, you know, we all know Ben Johnson and how he's kind of a darling for a future head coaching job. Would Aaron Glenn be considered another guy that might be considered? I think they're writing that in Detroit these days. I heard the head coach, Dan Campbell, talk about it yesterday. They just got a lot of good things going for them. How do you win this game? What is the pathway to victory for a team that's heading on the road and has lost five in a row and is a 10.5-point dog?
Yeah, the pathway to victory is that the Detroit Lions have been terrible on Thanksgiving of late. The Lions have lost seven consecutive games on Thanksgiving Day. So now, for a decent amount of that stretch over the past 7 years, they've been a poor and dysfunctional football organization. Of late, they've had their stuff together, and they've still lost the last 2 years there anyway. Path to victory would have to involve plus two or better on the turnover margin, right? I mean, they would have to involve that. Would have to be a clear advantage in special teams in terms of average starting field position, maybe Torrey Taylor forcing the Lions to start inside their 10-yard line on a couple of drives. They would have to handle the crowd noise better than they have this season. in terms of the offensive line and have more explosive plays than they did this past week against Minnesota, which I thought they had a fair amount. They've made an improvement in that area. I mean, they'd have to be hitting across the board. It's been a long time, guys, since the Bears have been a double-digit underdog in a game and won outright, sprung the big upset. Last time they actually pulled that out, and I was looking this up the other day, was the 2008 season opener at Indianapolis. They were a 10-point underdog to the Colts. I believe that's when Peyton Manning was returning from neck surgery, I think. He had like an ill-fitted suit on.
You remember his suit?
Yeah, I just remember, like, you saw him on TV, and it was like, whoa, that doesn't look great, because he'd been in rehab, and it was Matt Forte's debut game, right? And the Bears actually blew the Colts out down there.
I remember that well.
In Indianapolis. Yeah. But, otherwise, when they've been a big underdog, when they've been a big underdog, they've struggled mightily.
He's talking about his Jimmy Stewart thing. He just always looks like Jimmy Stewart.
I'm impressed he remembered the suit. That's why Bigsy's Bigsy. All right, Brad, we know how much you like Stadium Project stories. I'm just curious, seriously, what your reaction was to yesterday's big news, which I think is significant, that there's now an agreement between the Bears and Arlington Heights. There no longer is the tax hurdle to clear. And now, if they wanted to, conceivably, they could move forward and have shovels in the dirt, as they say, sooner rather than later, and avoid a lot of the political mess that awaits them and the non-starter status of the project in Chicago. What do you think happens next?
Yeah, that's going to be interesting. Perhaps in the near future, we learn that one of the very most beautiful pieces of land in the entire world is in Arlington Heights, after all. Who knew? They don't have any traction in the city right now, and I don't see how the South Lot one will get going at all. There just seem to be way too many obstacles in place for that right now. It's certainly for that to get going in the next 13 months, right, when they talk about having the project rolling at some point in the 2025 calendar year. That seems highly unrealistic to me. They've never completely walked away from Arlington Heights. They've just kind of had that sit there in limbo, maybe been working on it a little bit on the side the entire time. We'll have to see. I don't know. That's going to involve an awful lot of public money too, unless something changes dramatically. And I don't think they're going to get that from the state. But, guys, it's difficult enough to stay on top of football that I have no interest in trying to stay on top of politics.
So let's stay on top of football. So the Bears get the field goal blocked, and that ends their chances against Green Bay. And then they come back, and they have another field goal blocked. And then it looked like they brought in Darnell Wright. It looked like they made a couple of changes the next time out. About Wright was then added to the mix. Why was he not in the mix? Why didn't they change something after the blocked field goal? Why did they come back with the same crew? And what the hell's going on with the field goals? That's three this year.
Yeah. If you have one blocked field goal, maybe you're not going to make wholesale changes. You're going to look at it and you're say, okay, here was our problem spot. Here's what we didn't do well enough. Here's what we need to collectively across the board be better at. And then when you have another block, and it was through a different part of the line, right? They went a gap against Green Bay. That's what the Packers did, and I believe the Vikings hit the C gap there after trying to show that they're coming through where the a gap. Okay. Yeah, we're going to try the same alley, and then no, they're actually in another area. So that's got to be fixed. It's just you can't have that. You have one, and it's a problem. You have one in consecutive weeks, and you're not doing your due diligence. And I don't consider the one they had against Jacksonville when they were in London, because they're operating with Cole Kmet as the long snapper. You're just trying to get the darn thing back there, and it was a particularly high snap, so they shouldn't be judged off of that one. But the 2 and 2 weeks, or yeah, 2 and 2 weeks, no bueno.
Short week, Brad. What's your pick for the Lions game?
He has to make it tomorrow, doesn't he?
Oh wow, you guys are going to squeeze me this early in the week, huh?
Are you emotionally prepared for that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm picking the Lions. I don't have a I'm picking the Lions, and it might be more than two touchdowns. Although we got to look at these Lions injuries though.
Yeah, like, yeah.
Seriously,
Montgomery's like, on the list, but they said he's going to play.
If you can remember Peyton Manning's suit in 2008, Decker, you can make a pick 2 days early.
Dave, you don't want to rush into things like that. It's hard enough picking these damn games as it is.
Okay.
But I can say right now with a certain degree of confidence that Detroit will win the game and the Bears will have their sixth consecutive loss.
All right, buddy. Thank you. Thanks, appreciate
Brad.
It.
Have a great day, guys.